Paul Biancardi from ESPN and ESPNU. He is their recruiting guru, the college basketball analyst. And last night, Bone, he was WFNZ's Paul Biancardi. He and Kyle Bailey, I listened to some of this. They did a freaking awesome job going through draft night. Paulie B, of course, is the perfect guy to talk draft with because as a recruiting guy, I mean, they're so quick. It's such a quick turnaround from when you're covering them as recruits to when you then are talking about them as draft prospects.
Or a guy like Shaedon Sharpe, the last game he played was in high school.
I mean, he almost knows more than anybody on these picks. So let's get his opinions. We did not work Paul Biancardi hard enough last night, but on the draft show with Kyle Bailey. So we got to get 10 minutes out of him here this morning. ESPN's Paul Biancardi. Paul, you guys sounded great last night, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We had an awesome time being in the Spectrum Center. You know, the fans were there. The court was down. And when they got Mark Williams, I was pretty happy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, we'll go through the process of what they did last night and during in the trade momentarily. But as far as Mark Williams, the player, goes, how impactful right away can he be? Because we just saw Kai Jones last year need a lot of time still. But for Mark Williams, is he an immediate rotational piece?
Yes, he's an immediate rotational piece. But with big guys, they take a little bit longer to develop than guards because they don't touch the ball as often and as frequent. You could see Mark basic maybe go to the, you know, G League Greensboro team and get reps if need be. But I think he's a guy that is going to stay with the team and he's going to get in the rotation with Plumlee. He has a tremendous work ethic. He's one of the most humble guys that you're ever going to meet. And since his sophomore year in high school, that's when I first met him and watched him play. And, you know, sometimes he was 6'8", and he would, you know, fall down. It wasn't very coordinated, just learning how to grow into his body. And so from my first memory of Mark Williams to see him as the 15th pick, it makes me so happy for him because the hard work and what he's given to the game has given back to him.
Let's talk about his defensive impact, and I know you kind of touched on it there when you discussed kind of the whole package with Mark Williams, but I just think his defense, like that wingspan, that standing reach, the length that he has, and then you watch him. I mean, he per 40 minutes, it was almost five blocks last year for Mark Williams. What kind of defensive impact can he make? Pick and roll coverage, rim protection, all that stuff.
Well, that's what the Hornets need. Look, they need defense. We all know that. And they weren't a very good defensive team last year. But for as long as I've even been here in Charlotte, which is over 12 years, I don't remember them having a rim protector. Now, they've had centers, but they haven't had a rim protector. And that's what this guy does. He seeks out the shot to try to block it, change it, alter it. And you need that type of presence when somebody comes into the paint so that they understand that, you know, maybe they shouldn't attack the rim so easily and so quickly, maybe think twice about it before they just go to the basket to try to score. So he brings that presence. He's got that mindset. He's got the mindset of, you know what, I'm going to come and attack you as you attack the rim. And the Hornets, if they had this last year, guys, you know, 43 wins was, I thought, a terrific job by James Borrego. This could have been 45, you know, 48 if Gordon Hayward was healthy and he had somebody like this next to him. Yeah. He reminds me in some ways of a Robert Williams for the Celtics and a Clint Capella type for Atlanta. And I've said this before, in 5 years or 6 years, I think he'll be a top five defensive center in this league. And he'll rebound. He got close to 8 rebounds in ACC play. So he goes and gets it off the glass both defensively and offensively. You talked about the wingspan and the standing reach. He's got the measurables. He's got the ability, he's got the will, and he's the anchor that the Hornets need moving forward.
Paul, on the other side, on the offensive side, what always impressed me about him a lot, outside of the intangibles and what we're talking about and the size, his hands, I always thought, were tremendous. For a guy his size, that young, I can't remember him mishandling any of the passes or the... He got everything with those hands, and how important is that going to be in playing with a guy like LaMelo and his vision and ability to pass the ball to the bigs?
Well, LaMelo's the best lob thrower maybe in the NBA, and Mark Williams is a great lob catcher. You mentioned it. He's got great hands. I watched him in practice at Duke numerous times. He catches bad passes. He catches passes outside of his area. So for his ability to go up and get it, it doesn't have to be perfect, but if it's above the rim, Williams will get it. Now, at the beginning, you're going to see, obviously, the development and improvement in Williams. You know, you'll understand that some of the plays he can't make because of the speed of the game, because of the physicality of the game. That's the learning curve for him, and it is that way for most big guys. Like, if you look at Jalen Duren, who we thought the Hornets had at 13, now he's physically imposing and physically ready to play right now. Mark Williams is not physically ready, but he's got the gift to run the floor. He converts extremely well, catches well. And you look at his field goal percentage is really high because all his shots come inside the paint. And that's another thing about Williams. He knows who he is. He's comfortable in his own skin, and he stays true to the block and to the paint. So he's not going to wander out and take shots from the perimeter, you know, away from the other guys who need to shoot the ball, quite frankly, Bridges, Rozier, Ball, Haywood, P.J. Washington. He doesn't take shots away from them.
Yep.
I think in time he'll be able to score one-on-one with his back to the basket. What excites me about his upside is his free throw percentage. It's close to 75%, and that's a good free throw percentage. So what happens is now that free throw percentage becomes the jump shot, and I think you'll see him be able to make a short jumper, you know, starting in his second or third year.
And Mitch said it last night. He said, man, he really wowed us with that mid-range jumper, you know, in the warm-ups. What am I saying? The workouts is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Hey, I want to ask you, got Paul being
caught. He shoots him in warm-ups, too.
And that's true. Yeah, he also watched him in warm-ups. Good say, Paulie.
Good teammate, P.
Yes, Paul being caught is with us. He was Kyle Bailey's teammate last night. They did a great job on the draft show. Paul, his day job, though, ESPN recruiting college basketball guru. We're talking about the Hornets draft. All right, so you kind of went there a little bit on Duren and Mark Williams, but I want you to fully explain this to us. Do you think the Hornets, because obviously they had their pick, right? They literally chose Duren and then traded him. Do you think the Hornets made the right call to go Williams instead of Duren or no?
In my book, yes. Williams was the guy that I had pegged for the Hornets, however they were going to do it, versus Duren. Duren was my second choice. Would have been a good choice, but Williams was the guy for me because he's more of a 7-foot center shot blocker. Duren is a physically gifted and imposing, you could call him a center, power forward type. And he protects the rim too with his body and shot blocking ability, but he doesn't go after blocks like Williams does. And he rebounds the ball at the same pace that Williams does. The thing I like about Duren is he's a really good passer. Like, people don't realize what a good passing big man he is. I used to say on TV when I had him in high school, that he made passes like a Chris Webber because he had huge hands. Now, you want to talk about big hands. Jalen Duren has huge hands, and he has good passing vision. I like the motor better for Mark Williams.
Paul, did you understand why they did that trade last night? Because we thought they were not going to pick necessarily two players, but we didn't envision trading for a future first-rounder. In hindsight, would you rather have them take Williams at 15, but maybe a player like Tariq Easton or somebody at 13, get an asset and go from there rather than getting a future first-round pick?
Well, at the time, no, we had not very much understanding about what was going on. One minute we thought we had Jalen Duren. The next minute we thought we had draft picks in like 2030. We weren't sure what was happening. But the way I understand it this morning is that the Hornets got the first-round pick in 2023 and before, was it 2025? And I think what happened, guys, is this. I think that they got Mark Williams at 15 because they did the trade that they did at 13. I think that's what it all came down to. I think Mitch really wanted Mark Williams, and he got future assets at 13, but also he got Mark Williams, and it turned out to be brilliant.
Yeah, I think they got the guy they wanted. I think they knew Detroit wanted Duren, and they could find a way to use that, and they did that in this convoluted three-way trade, and they saved themselves some money. They saved themselves $4 million this year that they can use towards signing Miles Bridges, which is very important.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, Paul, because we got to ask you, because you're going to know 50 gazillion times more about this guy than us. In the second round, the Hornets used one of those four second-rounders they got in last night's trade. They already put it to use, and they moved up from 45 to 40, and they drafted Bryce McGowan, who's a shooting guard, 6'6", shooting guard, out of Nebraska. He's a Greenville, South Carolina kid. And I'm looking right now at the ESPN recruiting page. You are the ESPN head recruiting guy. Y'all had him with as a four-star recruit, 26th overall in the class. This kid has some talent. Like, does he have a shot to be a contributor long-term? What do you think of Bryce McGowan's?
I love this pick. I mean, I really do, because Bryce McGowan's was always naturally talented and gifted at a young age. Skinny, scrawny, but skilled. Coming up through the high school ranks, he has one-on-one ability, meaning you put him in an isolation, he can pull it on you with a little jab step shot, or that he can put it on the deck and make a spin move. He's got wiggle in his game. He's got great touch. He's got good length, close to 6'6", in terms of height. I just like everything about him. Now, you got to put him down and get him reps. You really do. You got to get him with the physicality of the game. But Bryce McGowan's, boy, he can score the ball. And actually, he went to the Jay Billis camp as a youngster, and that's when I first saw him. And I said, you know what? This kid is going to be a ranked player someday. And lo and behold, as you mentioned, good reference right there, by the way, on the ESPN 100. To put him at 26, that means that he was one of the best players in the class with a bright future. And I love what the Hornets did. They moved up to get a really gifted guy. In the second round, you're trying to find the best talent you can, and Bryce McGowan's at 40. Some will say, and I even agree with, he could have been a late first-round pick.
One-and-done player, too, for people that don't know. Like, Paul just evaluated him last year, right? Class of 21.
Yep.
Played 1 year at Nebraska, I think scored 16 a game, and Mitch said last night...
6'7".
Six seven player on the wing.
He grew. Yeah.
Oh, he did? Oh, he added on an extra inch from when he was in high school.
Okay.
All right,
yes.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. And also, Mitch said yesterday, two-way player probably to start. So, yeah, he's going to get to hit the weight room and stuff, right?
Yeah, they got him for offense. Like, it's not his passing ability. It's not his defense. It's his offense. That's why they got Bryce McGowan. You mentioned it, 16 points a game. I think it was, if I remember correctly, in Nebraska, it was on about 12 and a half shot attempts per game. The efficiency is not where it needs to be, but the talent is. The skill level is, the scoring basketball IQ is impressive.
12.8 shots a game last year. Paul being
40
is an amazing man.
That's impressive.
He's amazing. All right. Hey, Paul, you guys really did. You and Kyle did an awesome job. We appreciate you being a part of the team last night on the draft show. And thanks for getting back on the air in the morning and doing this with us, man. We really appreciate you.
Oh, I really enjoyed being with you guys. And Kyle Bailey was just awesome last night as the point guard.
Definitely, no doubt about it. This backcourt you're playing with today, not near as good, Paulie.
We're second rounders.
All right, brother, be good, Paul.
Hey, you're a two-way guy.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I work, and then I nap.
Two-way guys, does that mean we get like a two-way player, we get shipped to Greensboro after the show tonight?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm from the area, so maybe I should go home at some point. Thanks, Paul.